The Omaha Steaks semi-annual sale is here. Save 50% site-wide on legendary steaks, beefy burgers, cozy comfort meals, and more. Don't wait. Shop now to save 50% site-wide on steaks and more during the semi-annual sale at omahasteaks.com. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code SAVEBIG at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code SAVEBIG. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Over fake debates, turn it up, hear the honest sound. Unfiltered sports all year round. Discussions pure, no masquerade. Real takes over fake debates. Turn it up.
SB Talk Sports Shy Web, Real Takes Over Fake Debates. It is Monday. We live, Sean. How you feeling today?
Doing all right, SB. How you doing, man?
Chilling. In my football, man, I said I'm a little upset. My Chargers came off on a L to the Giants out of all teams. I got a little served a little bit of humble pie. Shout out my boy Taj. Taj, he supports the channel. He had hit me up on TikTok. He texted me, hey, man, have a good game today, my Giants versus your Chargers. You know me. I'm just so confident we finna put BTA to them. I sent him the BTA. I say BTA, and I sent an emoji with the L like this. Boy, did we get humble, and I kind of got what I deserve. So
yes, I knew it was oddly suspicious when I got no text from you yesterday.
Oh, I've
been texting you all day, all season so far. And yesterday, my phone was oddly quiet. So,
I would, you know, when LeBron used to do like for the playoff time, zero dark 30, I went zero dark 30.
Right. Yeah. But you're supposed to do that before, you know, the game, not after the outcome.
What had happened, Sean, you know, a lot of things came up. My phone, I didn't charge it. You know, I would have texted you. Wouldn't charge.
Yeah, the chargers weren't charged yesterday, clearly. So,
it's great. But how you feeling today? You know, how was your football Sunday?
Oh, I mean, you know, listen, some good games on yesterday, obviously. I know we're going to do our recap of our picks of the week. Mm-hmm. You know, we did some fantasy, you know, predictions. And, you know, I don't like to brag, but I did tell people if you have Michael Penix to start him yesterday. Michael Penix had a great game yesterday.
Yes, you did.
Romeo Doubs had a great fantasy game yesterday as well. You know, so, you know, we just you know, it was really some really good games yesterday. Ashton Jeanty had a great game yesterday.
Nice.
Went back to his normal stance, which I don't
Chip
know
why. Kelly, get out of the way, Chip yeah. Kelly.
Chip Kelly being an idiot, messing with something that wasn't broken, but that's neither here nor there. But, no, some good games yesterday, and certainly look forward to catching up on week four.
Yeah, salute to everybody in the chat, and also Todd is in the chat right here to the GGs though. We got a lot to talk about, a lot to impact. I know you guys ready for the NFL. We got a couple NBA stories to knock out real quick because it was NBA Media Day. And there's three questions that was asked that I really want to recap. But also make sure you guys like, make sure you guys share, make sure you guys subscribe on all platforms. Real Takes Over Fake Debates, Go James Kingdom, FYF. Make sure you guys like, share, subscribe on all platforms. And also, if you listening on an audio episode, make sure you guys subscribe to us to Apple Podcasts, iHeart, everything. So, Sean, the first NBA story that popped up that kind of like threw my my NFL mindset off was just seeing this out the blue. But, you know, big signing. The Golden State Warriors signed Al Horford. What's your reaction and how you're grading this real quick?
I mean, it's a good pickup for the Warriors. I mean, obviously, when you talk about Al Horford, one, we know he's a vet. Two, you know he's in shape. And three, he actually adds an element to their game, which is a four-spacing big man who can also go in the post from time to time when they need to. I don't think they're going to play him a lot, you know, in terms of like they're not going to run him in the ground. You get Al Horford because you feel like you got with Jimmy and Al Horford and Draymond and obviously Steph, you got the core of a team that can, you know, make some noise. They believe in the playoffs. So I think, you know, I expect them to kind of take it light with Horford, you know, especially early starting out in the season. You know, Horford's going to year 19. And, you know, again, I think he's a guy who, you know, brings great value. You know, I know there's questions why he didn't end up back in Boston. Boston is trying to reset the luxury tax. That's why they made all the trades they made with the new CBA and Tatum's injury. They could not retain all of these guys and continue paying the luxury tax they were paying. And then they were paying in the repeater tax because they were a second apron team with the new CBA. So that's what Boston was doing. This is really a gap year for Boston, if you really think about it, until obviously they get Tatum back. And then
he's back on the court too, by the way.
He's back on the court, but I would be surprised if he plays this season given when he got hurt. So it's a smart move for the Warriors. Again, whether or not, you know, I think again we will see Al Horford's real value come playoff time for the Warriors, but it's a good pickup for the Warriors.
Yeah. And then if he didn't go back to Boston, they couldn't afford him. And when you at the tail end of your career, like Al Horford, you have to go somewhere you think you can win and where you fit. I think Al Horford is actually a perfect fit for the Golden State Warriors. He is a guy who can stretch the floor. He is a guy who can defend. He's not a liability. He can pass the ball. He's a championship contender. So I think he fits right in perfectly with the team. But the problem, the glaring problem for me is like, if he's not already 40, he's pushing. He's like a year
he'll
away.
He'll be 40 next year.
He'll be 40 this year. And you look at the rest of his roster, the Golden State Warriors haven't really made any moves because of you could blame the Jonathan Kuminga situation. I think you should have just got rid of him and then move forward because you can't place a guy like that on the bench, young talent, good or bad, or if he ain't at his full potential yet, on the bench and didn't expect a lot to come from it. And then you waited this long to sign Al Horford when everybody knew you'd been willing to sign Al Horford. I like the – the move is okay because he fits, but I'm just, it's nothing too impressive for me that I'm really going to see that's going to be like, oh, you know, that they got Al Horford. That moves me. It didn't move me at all. I give it a C plus because of the fit, but at the age and what I'm really expecting from this team, I don't really expect too much. Old teams don't last during the 82 game season. Now, if the NBA miraculously become a 25 game season, Sean, ooh, Warriors are dangerous, but old teams like this don't last that long. Also, Sean, NBA Media Day is here, so that means NBA season is going to be close around the corner. We definitely got to do our NBA predictions soon. Did you, Sean, as a consistent Heat fan, as you see that Heat logo back there, you see my Chicago Bulls logo, did you get to catch any Media Day things? Did you catch or did you really pay attention to it?
Not just a couple little clips, but nothing too crazy. I tend not to get too crazy about Media Day. Media Day is about, you know, hope and pictures and, you know, sound bites, but get on the court and let's go.
For me, and also guys, I want you guys to comment down below if you have watched Sunday Media Day, you have a question about your team in the Media Day, please write it in the comment section. But for me, Sean, I had to pay attention to the Chicago Bulls one because it's a lot of questions in the air about how you're going to run this team. And we got Coby White, who's possibly contract extension eligible. And if he plays how I think he's going to play, he's going to want to match. You barely want to play Josh Giddey. What's going to go with that? Then also, you going to actually put Montrezl Bozelis in a position to become a star player? Also, what is the front office move? So it's a lot of questions about what the front office. So I had to hear what the front office said they're going to do because I need to figure out what's going on with the team. I heard three questions that they got answered by three players, and I think everybody would be interested in this. And I was interested when I was hearing it. So, number one, Sean, and I want to hear your reaction. Joker said he planned to be a Denver Nugget forever, despite rejecting his contract extension. And I'm pulling the story back up again. Give me one sec. I want the exact quote for him. Jokic, and I see a Kawhi Leonard story just popped up, but we're not going to talk about that Kawhi situation. That's a different story for this day. Jokic said, and I quote, "I think those contract extensions come as a reward, and sometimes that is natural to the sport, especially in today's NBA. You see how the salary cap is going." Joker told reporters, courtesy of DNVR, "My plan is to be a Denver Nugget forever." Do you 100% agree? Do you 100% believe Jokic? And should he be a Denver Nugget forever?
Yes and yes. The reason why it makes sense for him to reject the extension is because next year he can sign a bigger, much bigger extension. So, and remember, Joker's 30 now. So my guess is what he's looking for is one last probably big payday. Not sure how much longer Joker's going to play. Obviously, you know, he's still the best player in the world. Still
playing. And don't want to be the best player in the world.
Well, I don't think he necessarily desires the attention of the best player in the world. I think he wants to be the best player in the world. I don't think he desires the attention that a lot of people want to put, you know, on him as the best player in the world. But he's a guy that clearly still playing at an incredibly high level. No reason to expect that he won't continue to do that for the next 4 to 5 years. So, you know, for him, kicking the can down the road makes sense. Obviously, Denver went out and made a lot of really good moves. Yeah. To clean up their cap situation, obviously moving MPJ, bringing back Cam Johnson, getting that tax savings, and then using that to fill out their bench with, you know, Bruce Brown and Tim Hardaway and Jonas Valanciunas, just to name a few. So, you know, I think for Joker, he's going to be there. I don't think there's any question about whether or not he's going to be there. Yeah. He likes it. They love him there. He is the best player in franchise history. And I think that's going to continue. So I don't expect him to go anywhere.
No, I don't expect Jokic to go anywhere. I know we have had situations where players said, yeah, I will be here. And then they end up leaving. It's kind of different with like the foreigner players, but I don't really see no reason for Jokic to leave. And Sean, you heard me say this before about Giannis. When everybody trying to force Giannis out of Milwaukee, I'm like, why is he leaving Milwaukee? He won a championship here. A place where y'all thought he couldn't win a championship. They haven't won since Kareem. He won there already. Why is he leaving? Why do we need to leave for? Everybody, we need to look at the reality of the fact of championship chasing. It usually don't work out. It don't. And the only player that you could probably give a glimpse to is saying LeBron. But to be honest with you, did it really work out for LeBron? Because he got more finals losses chasing championships. He won four. Look at Kevin Durant. He only got two. And they don't respect the two that he hit. Look at James Harden. He got none. Kawhi. He got his one with the Raptors, and he didn't championship chase. They sent him to the Raptors. They gave him one, and he went to the Clippers. Do his own. Don't work. Paul George. Don't work. So this narrative that everybody try to push, they let these media people come on TV and try to say you don't want to win a championship. And I always use this player, for example, Sean. It's Carmelo Anthony, right? They'll tell a player, you're running from the ground, like how they did LeBron, or you're in championship chasing, or you're bandwagon hopping. And then in the next breath, tell me a guy like Carmelo Anthony don't want to win because he stayed in New York and took the contract and had a team that he thought could win. Because the media flips all the time on players to whatever narrative is going to get them clicks or get a reaction out of the player. And I think players need to start realizing that, hey, I already won here. Why I need to leave? I can just sit here and build championships. Everything is not in what the media people do or the narrative they're trying to chase. Everybody don't have to chase Jordan 6 to be one of the greatest players of all time. That's all it is. You got to chase 6. You got to have 5 like Kobe or 4. You don't have to chase that many championships to be one of the greatest players of all time. It's about how you dominate in the fashion of what you just do in your career.
Help keep our community safe and healthy during National Prescription Drug Take Back Day, October 25th. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeBack.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent drug misuse before it starts.
I think it's just the body of work you put in, to be honest with you. But people use that standard shot to trick players into chasing championships, and now you can end up like a James Harden. And be messed up. Because I think if LeBron would have won his first 7 years in Cleveland, I think he should have. It wasn't no reason for him to leave either. But I that's just me. I just think you should only leave if the organization don't want to do nothing and you a championship caliber player or you a very talented player. And your organization not doing nothing to put you in a position to win, I think you should leave. That's just me. Next up on the list is Kevin Durant, right? Kevin Durant obviously got traded to the Houston Rockets. With him getting traded to the Houston Rockets for a Jalen Green to the Suns, now they're a very competitive team. He asked her a question about him signing an extension for Media Day. He said, yes, he's planning on signing an extension. Kevin Durant's 37 years old. Is it a good thing for the Houston Rockets to sign Kevin Durant to extension? Not Kevin Durant getting an extension for Rockets. Is it a good thing at his age to give Kevin Durant an extension? Or does it depend on the number?
I think it depends on the number and the length. I mean, you're probably talking about at most maybe a 2-year extension. He's only got 1 year left on his deal. I would think Kevin Durant's game is still going to age pretty well. But obviously, if you're Houston, you have some, you know, other things you have to consider that you've already signed Jabari Smith to an extension. Amen Thompson is going to be extension eligible after next season. You know, Sengun's extension kicks in this year. So they're just going to have to figure out some things from a numbers perspective if they want to sign it to an extension. And again, what is Kevin Durant looking for in terms of a number? I would gather, you know, being in Houston – in Texas, you know, no state income tax, that, you know, he may be willing to, you know, leave a little on the table. But I think that will, you know, remain to be seen. Right now, I think it's just about Houston getting ready to try to make this push because they do believe they're a team that can come out of the Western Conference and win it all, I believe. And so that should be the primary focus. But I think that'll take care of itself.
Yeah, like because of what you gave up for Kevin Durant, your young future superstar, I think you do have to sign Kevin Durant for extension. But if he's asking something closer to max, he's not getting that. I pay him a nice, decent contract because he's Kevin Durant and his legs, you know what I'm saying? Because he's Kevin Durant, but I'm not overpaying. He's still 37 years old. That's just the main thing for me. The next up on the list, right? Everybody's favorite guy. Everybody's favorite guy. In another year, another LeBron crazy question or extension. extension of his career, I should say, because his son is in college. He got one son in the league. Of course, you know they're going to ask, is you going to wait for Bryce? And LeBron answered it funny. He said he's not waiting on Bryce to end in the NBA before he retired. He said pretty much, if I have the exact quote, he said, I'm excited about the day. Jay said, during the Lakers media day and at their training, I'm excited about the opportunity to be able to play the game that I love for another to see how's the journey. No, that is not his quote. Okay. It said, I'm not waiting on Bryce, James said with a smile. I don't know what his timeline is. He's his own young man. He's down in Tuscan. We'll see what happens this year, next year. He has his own timeline. I got my timeline. I don't know if they quite match up as well, but we'll see. I took that two ways, Sean. Either he don't want everybody harassing Bryce to leave college. I don't know if he 100% know Bryce going to be ready to leave. Because I can say he kind of like microwaved Bronny there. I think if Bronny would have played, he probably still been fine. But with Bronny being out, he microwaved Bryce the process like, no, I know I'm still going to play. Let's just get it done. With Bryce, I think he's going to let actually Bryce go through the process. Bryce ready, he'll probably take that next step. If he ain't, cool. But the main thing I took from when he said, me and his timeline don't match up. You said this before, year 23 for 23. I think this the last year. I think this is last year. And I think LeBron's still fresh right now. Fresh. He didn't really go through the process. I think like market 25. I'm going to extend. I really say 25, 30. I'm going to extend 25 to like 40 games in. It'd be a different tone. Because that toll of that NBA 82 game season gets in, I think LeBron probably announced it. Because I don't even think the league will let LeBron just leave quietly like a Tim Duncan. I don't think they would. But what was your reaction to it?
I mean, my reaction is I still believe this is LeBron's last year. Mm-hmm. And that's it. So it's just a matter of when he announces it. I think he'll announce it sooner than later, mm-hmm. primarily because, again, you're talking about when he goes out on the road in the Eastern Conference in particular. That's going to be the only chance for many folks to see him one last time, you know. So I think it's just a matter of when he makes that announcement. But I think this is it.
I think this is it, like Michael Jackson. Mark had a good question.
Yeah, you know, don't say that because, you know, Michael Jackson said this is it. And 6 months later, he was gone.
It was really it.
So
shout out my boy Mark. He said, I thought you guys were talking football. This NBA stuff. Well, cool. We got NBA stories. It's time to get to the gridiron. That's why you ask, you shall receive. You see, that's how quick it happens. NFL Week 4 recap. We do also got the picks of the week. Sean, I know it's the picks we use at the end. I'm down right now, y'all. These two games might have to matter. I'm down. We ain't gonna scale how I'm down. So, yes, Sean. Wait, what's the score to the game right now? Because I know the game is on as we said at the time of this recording.
3-0. Dolphins, Jets are driving.
Okay, and we both originally picked who?
The Jets.
And for me, for the sake of the competition, I will switch both my today's picks. I will take the Dolphins, and I'm taking the Bengals. So we'll at least probably tie. And it's funny, keep that word in mind today in this episode, guys, the word tie, because a tie happened. We definitely got to talk about it. So I will change my picks for today while we get into it. Now, Sean, what's your biggest reaction for Week 4? We had a lot of good games that happened in NFL Week 4. We had a lot of good games. We're down the list. I was going to talk about the Packers, Packers Cowboys. I know y'all Giants fans ready, or somebody going to say something who listening. I'm going to talk about my Chargers losing. Also, we definitely going to have to get into these Ravens. But besides those three scenarios, did anything this week stuck out to you?
Yeah, a couple of things stuck out to me. First, again, you know, it's such a week-to-week league. Last Sunday, everybody was piling on Michael Penix Jr. and that Falcons offense because they got shut out in Carolina. Mm-hmm. And then yesterday, you saw they came out against Washington, albeit Jaden Daniels and no Terry McLaurin. But, you know, they came out and they played like a lot of people would expect that Atlanta offense to play. So, you know, getting back on track going into the bye week, their bye week, week five, that stood out. Certainly the Eagles-Bucks game stood out. The Eagles were dominating the game earlier in the game. Bucks, you know, did try to come back and make it a little bit game, hit some couple big plays, one to Emeka Buka, who looks like the best rookie receiver so far in the league, and one to Bucky Irvin, their stud running back. But obviously the Eagles, you know, ability to, you know, hold on and find a way to move to 4-0 certainly stood out. The Rams and Colts game, you know, Colts had a chance, you know, Adney Mitchell, you know, you got to cross the, you got to, I don't know.
Fire that man.
No, I mean, it happens too much. Like, you know, you got to get across that goal line before you start celebrating. You know, Leon.
This ain't college. You can't do that.
Leon Lett, Deshaun Jackson. Like, it's just endless stories of guys not crossing the goal line and taking the score for granted, and you can't do that. That stood out. Jacksonville getting a big win in San Francisco. A little bit of a heated situation between Robert Saleh and Liam Crazy Cohen, the coach of the Jaguars, after the game. Listen, let me say, I'm going to say this right now. Liam Cohen, you don't want none of that, all right? Robert Saleh will drag you from San Francisco to L.A. You do not want that. Don't do that to yourself. But in all seriousness, Jaguars coming out with a big win, obviously moving to 3-1. Texans, you know, getting a shutout win against the Titans. So some really, you know, some games where it's like, okay, maybe these teams are not as bad as we think. And then conversely, there were some teams that were, you know, 3-0 and came back to earth a little bit. Your Chargers, for example, coming back to earth a little bit. The Colts coming back to earth a little bit. You know, so I think, you know, the Buccaneers coming back to earth a little bit. So, you know, I think it's just still.
They almost won that game, though.
First of all, they ain't almost win anything.
We ain't doing that.
I watched that entire game. The Eagles were dominating the game, and they went really conservative. And again, give the Bucs credit; their defense started playing better. But to me, the big issue was the Eagles just didn't have an offensive rhythm in the second half, and also, Jalen Carter going out in the second half. He came back in for a few plays late in the game, but to me, that was the big difference. And then, of course, you know, Anita Baker Mayfield did Anita Baker Mayfield things, throwing an interception in the end zone. A dumb play, by the way. But
yeah, that was a bad play.
And it was a terrible play. And again, you know, if anyway, I'm not gonna go there. The point is that, you know, some teams that were undefeated really feeling themselves probably got a little like, okay, maybe we need to just get back to some fundamentals. And again, you know, I think that's what we saw, but it's still a long season. And thankfully nobody clinched the playoff spot yesterday and nobody was eliminated from the playoffs yesterday. Well, maybe Cleveland. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, nobody was eliminated from the playoffs yesterday. So still a long season to go and we'll see what happens.
For me, what I think, not to like repeat anything that you said, With that game, I took the game the opposite way from you, from that Buccaneers-Eagles game, because I definitely think they had a chance. And that Eagles offense is – I'm highly concerned about that Eagles offense.
I don't know why.
It's more the air game. It's just more the air game. But you know, Buccaneers always play them tough. The Eagles defense is outstanding. I really like they had that game won for them. Ashton Jensen, because that's the game I really pay attention to, actually getting in the rhythm, getting in the form. We talked about it before the show. He actually doing his stance, his normal stance, and he looked more comfortable. Chip Kelly, leave him alone. You already ruined teams and players. I don't know how you still got the job in the NFL, but that's a different story for a different day. Ashton Jensen definitely looking good. I'm highly concerned about that Ravens defense, but you're going to get into more about the Ravens defense. Boy, I'm highly concerned about that. Also, hey, go live. They got Adams, Puka Nacua, dog. He a dog, bro. Puka Nacua is a dog. He is a dog. And even though they blew out the Titans, I'm still highly concerned about the Texans. I'm still highly concerned about the offensive line, Sean. And I ain't gonna lie, I didn't once I watched, you know, because the game they flip through it and you see like the highlights where they go to the game. So I was watching that game like that. I'm not gonna watch the Titans play test like that. One play I think concerned me and it told me everything I need to see. I see, you know what play I'm talking about that game, Sean. CJ Stroud got sacked in 0.2 seconds off a play. He said hiking got sacked. Thank God the Titans are just that bad as they are, that they are. But this might be a bad year for the Texans. That's all I'm gonna say. Sean, I don't know. Did you see that play?
I saw the play. I think
it was more of the player, and I don't know why I know the D lineman that did, because he's an elite D lineman. Why is his name going blank right now? But go ahead, say what you said. I'm going to look up his name. I know who it is.
No, I think again, just what you're seeing. I think you've seen the first 4 weeks of the season is teams with issues.
Jeffrey Simmons, that's what it was.
Yeah, teams with issues. Who's a beast? Teams with issues. If they're not getting guys back, those issues are likely to continue. So again, I'd use the Chiefs as an example. Getting Xavier Worthy back was huge for them yesterday because they finally had someone that defense to say, this guy can take the top off. We have to play a very sound deep defensively. And again, I thought they did that. Conversely, you know, in some games, in that same game, that Ravens game, and we're going to talk about the Ravens in a moment, the defensive line injuries, those, and then you had more guys get hurt. You had Roquan Smith get hurt yesterday in the game. You had Marlon Humphrey get hurt. So, I mean, it was just – I think the injuries are stacking up for that Ravens team, and not that there are other issues, but I just look at that team, I just say they're just – they're too hurt, and they're not running the ball the same way they did last year, much like the Eagles aren't running the ball the same way they did last year. And – they're asking a lot more of Lamar and those weapons. And the fact is that, you know, Kansas City, and again, Steve Spagnuolo generally has a decent game plan against them. It just wasn't enough yesterday. And then Lamar gets hurt in the game as well, you know, with a hamstring injury. So I just think you're starting to see these teams that, again, we were talking about the injuries piling up, but also, again, we crown some teams maybe a little too quickly, and we just need to say, how's the rest of the season going to play out? And I think that's really, to me, we're a quarter into the season. We're starting to think that there's some teams that are really good.
Yeah.
But I still think there are some teams that very much, if they go on a run, it wouldn't shock me if they go on a run just because of those teams and those coaches.
It's for me, Sean, personally, if I had to say, it's only three teams right now I can say are done. And my three teams are the Titans, the Dolphins, and where's the third team that I literally just looked at them?
The Browns.
Titans, the Dolphins, and the Browns. That's the only – those are the three teams. That are, the Titans, Dolphins, Browns, they're done right now. Week three, season's over. You might as well get over it, move on. And your Saints too. But the – at least I can say with the Browns and the Saints, they're tanking on purpose. The Browns with the Saints tanking on purpose. Now, Titans and the Dolphins, that's tough. But, Sean, you did brought up a big point about getting Xavier Worthy back. The good old injury bug is back. I said I'm going to do this one in reverse order that I showed you during the pre-show, because I think the last one is kind of like going to open up a conversation we kind of going to talk about. But let's knock out these first two ones first. Brock Purdy. Could it be out again? I know he's dealing with like a toe injury. He played last game, didn't look as pretty good. Is this highly concerning for you with Brock Purdy being out again? Did the injury bug get Brock Purdy?
No, because Mac Jones showed in the two games that he started that Mac Jones can play in the NFL. Mac Jones can be a starting quarterback in the NFL. And Kyle Shanahan can design a game plan around Mac Jones and his skill set. Just like he did with Nick Mullins, just like he did with Jimmy Garoppolo, and he can do that. He didn't do it with Trey Lance for whatever reason. But the fact is, he's shown he can do that with Mac Jones. So it's, yeah, you don't want to lose your starting quarterback. But when you have a starting quarterback as your backup who's shown he can play in that system, I'd be less concerned. Now, they got a big one on Thursday night against the Rams. I would be surprised if Brock Purdy plays. That said, I think Mac Jones can hold down the fort. The bigger concern for me with the Niners is the injuries on defense. They didn't get a single sack yesterday, and they didn't have a single pressure yesterday on Trevor Lawrence. That's the bigger concern for me if I'm a Niners fan.
For me with the Niners, I'm definitely more concerned about the defensive injuries. Like you said, with Kyle Shanahan, he's the quarterback whisperer. He can make anybody look great. If Brock Purdy didn't just get paid, we'd be having probably a different conversation if people ask to start. But Brock Purdy is going to be the guy. The injury bug is not really concerning me here in this situation. I think it's going to be a down year for the Niners. These last couple years, they have been banged up. People don't realize how tough it is to go on a Super Bowl run and to be consistent year after year, year after year. So that's why we are so amazed, even though they division rivals when the Chiefs did it, because they don't. It takes a lot. Health is a big key component of it. So we can see what they do in the future, but this injury is not highly concerning of me.
And you know what? I got to say, Niners fans might want to change their motto, because it's not even bang, bang, Niner game. It's banged up Niner game.
Banged up Niner game. It's crazy. And
yeah, it might be time to change that up, because I don't know if that's a good omen for you.
Bang, bang, Niner game. Bang, bang. Next up, injury bug. Got my boy, the Ravens defense, so you talk about Roquan, but I want to talk about the main guy. I ain't going to bring up what we talked about earlier, but a lot of y'all Baltimore fans flip floppy. That's all I'm going to say. I ain't going to say what y'all said about Lamar. If y'all ain't on Ravens, look around what people said about the game, but y'all flip floppy. That's all I'm going to say for sure. But Lamar Jackson leaves the Chiefs game with a hamstring injury. How concerning are you about this? Did the injury bug get my boy Lamar?
Yeah, I'd be very concerned if I'm the Ravens. Again, no slight to Cooper Rush, but no. And again, the big issue with me, the Ravens, is right now they haven't shown outside of probably that first week in the first three quarters in Buffalo that they can consistently run the football with Derrick Henry. And again, you know, Derrick Henry did not run well yesterday. I think he had less than 50 yards, if I'm not mistaken. So the inability to run the football for the Ravens is concerning. But to me, it's Lamar leaving with a hamstring injury. But as much as we talk about Lamar leaving with a hamstring injury, and that's a massive concern because it's Lamar, to me, the bigger issue with the Ravens is the trenches, the defensive line and the offensive line. And that's an issue we never thought we would really talk about with the Ravens. Their inability to protect Lamar these last 2 weeks, obviously. And then obviously from the defensive line perspective, them basically playing with guys off the street and guys who were, you know, basically sitting at home not too long ago on the defensive line. That's a massive concern if for the Ravens. And I know people are going to look at the numbers and the stats. It's not that. And again, you know, I'm saying their inability to run the football, it hasn't been there the last couple weeks. That's the issue to me. They ran the ball against Cleveland because it's Cleveland. But the last couple weeks, they haven't been able to run the football. And again, some of that, particularly because the Ravens want to run the football early in the game, they just haven't been able to do that. So, you know, I think that's, to me, a big concern. You know, they were averaging, I think, 5.8 yards a carry this time last year. It's like 3.3 now. That's big. And some of that, to me, starts up front. But also, I think it's a function of, you know, what they're calling on offense. And Todd Monken, you know, again, who, you know, put together a brilliant offense last year. Can he find that mojo and magic? John Harbaugh was a little critical of him today with some of the play calling. You know, I do wonder if that's going to be a concern for them going forward.
For me with the injury bug, this is definitely concerning to me because of it's his hamstring and Lamar play style and also the protection of Lamar Jackson. That's why it's concerning for me, because usually hamstrings, especially this early, could lean on something else later on in the season, and it could be a bigger injury, or also is limiting Lamar Jackson to not be able to use his legs, which is a big part of his game. That's just for me, that's why it's really more concerning. That if it was like any else type of injury, maybe I wouldn't be as concerned, but the hamstring is always going to be a scary situation. That's the only main thing that I'm really concerned about, but we're going to talk about – I'm going to wait deep dive on the Ravens, because we definitely going to talk about the Ravens. But the next big injury that we have to talk about right here is Malik Nabers tears his ACL. It was out for the season. And obviously I was watching that game because, you know, he was playing the Chargers. How is, like, happening to seem more of, like, he like cleat guy like kind of like stuck in his leg, like kind of like went like the wrong way, or was like he couldn't really move it and trying to go for it, trying to make a play. Cause it wasn't like he wasn't doing that like crazy type of a play. It was just like tried doing a normal play, but it was like his leg was maybe stuck in and like jerked and turned like the wrong way, and then he went down. What was your reaction to it? And we have a former Giant who has something to say about this too, but I want to hear your reaction before we get into that former Giant player.
Yeah, obviously it stinks. You know, Malik Nabers, one of the probably most exciting young players, not even just receiver, young players in the NFL, for him to go out in his second year. You know, the excitement of having Jackson Dart start yesterday. You know, can I quote Okoye from the Infinity War? Why was he up there all this time? Because Jackson Dart clearly probably should have been playing much earlier, neither here nor there. But no, you hate that, you know, obviously Malik Nabers went out with a torn ACL. If there's a silver lining, you know, again, he'll be back to start next season, you know, and again, and probably be back, you know, ready to play during next offseason and to get that time in with Jackson Dart that he'll need. But obviously, you know, the questions about the turf are legitimate. Why teams are still using on it and playing on it, I don't know. But it stinks. But and I think the Giants got to go out and make a move at receiver. You're not that Wandale Robinson and who's my other guy? Receiver Darius Slayton aren't solid receivers. But you know, I think you got to go out and make a move, you know, to get a receiver if you want to try to salvage this season.
For me, with the reaction, it sucks. For me, it does suck that this injury has happened, because Malik Nabers is one of the best young receivers that we've seen. And the player who has something to say about it was Odell Beckham. And and quote me if I'm wrong again, but from what I've seen, Odell Beckham tore his ACL too. One of the Giants, and it was on turf against the Chargers. So it's like history repeating itself. And Odell Beckham, he had made a post. He said, Beckham pleaded with the NFL to get rid of the turf, labeling the stadium death life, obviously quote off MetLife, due to his history of players suffering serious injuries on his play surface. He also called out the league for what he perceives as hypocrisy when it comes to the health and safety of his players. And to go down of this list, Sean, this is notable. ACL and Achilles tears suffered on MetLife Stadium turf since 2020. Death life. Nick Bosa, 2020. Solomon Thompson, 2020. Jabril Peppers, 2021. Wendell Robinson, 2022. Sterling Shepard, 2022. Kyle Fuller, 2022. Aaron Rodgers, 2023. And now Malik Nabers.
So just to be clear, Odell Beckham, he didn't tear his ACL with the Giants. It was a broken ankle with the Giants. Remember, he tore his ACL in the Super Bowl. With the Rams, yeah.
Because I know he got injured, but I couldn't think of injury. Appreciate that. But which we know they're not going to do. Yeah, I know everybody's saying it. But I'm still going to ask the question. Is it time to say bye-bye to the turf, especially at MetLife?
Yes. If this doesn't do it, I don't know what will.
Yeah. Why is it? Is it because they just being cheap? It's cheaper to do the turf. It's easy to keep it white. Why is it so hard for them to just like avoid turf?
I mean, sometimes it's going to say, you know, the weather. Obviously, issues in New Jersey, where the stadium is built, the ground may be better for turf. Figure it out. That's the job. Figure it out. Like,
I know some people said, like, when they get tackled on turf, because, like, the ground surface, they said it'd be feeling like you're getting tackled on concrete.
It is. The old turf.
Old turf.
Yeah. Now, the new turf, I'm not sure because I didn't play on the new turf. But that old turf, yeah, it's like playing on – I would compare it to like playing on carpet and there's no padding underneath the carpet. Ooh. Yeah, like that's literally – and the carpet's not thick. It's like thin carpet.
Thin carpet, yeah. I like – when you see all these injuries I think at some point, yeah, you got to make that call. You have to make that call, or you better soften up the turf. I don't know. Something has to change. It has to change. It has to be something different done. We will see if they do it. I highly doubt they do it, but I don't. I can't see it.
Right.
I can't see it. Now, we had another game during week four, Sean. The world's greatest tie happy. You know, everybody's so excited just because it's the Cowboys. And the Cowboys played game in overtime. This was like the last game of the night, so I definitely watched this game. I watched it top to bottom. Michael Parsons returned back home to Dallas, or his former team, not his new home. What's your reaction to this game or to the world's greatest tie?
I mean, it was definitely, I think the world thought Green Bay was going to go in and dominate. And clearly, yes, we didn't. Dallas came out and fought and played really well. George Pickens stepped up, had a really good game. Javonte Williams ran the football really well. Dak played really well. The Packers offensively played really, really well. Played really, really, really well. And you hate that the game ended in a tie. I'm not sure regular season games should end in a tie.
Right.
Particularly when you get down to, you know, playoffs and this may come back to bite. I'm going to say Green Bay in particular, having a tie on their record, because I still don't think the Cowboys are going to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But this may come back and bite Green Bay. But listen, you had 70 minutes to handle business.
Yes, they did.
And again, I think they're going to – I'm not saying they're – the reason why, you know, both teams get the ball in overtime is because of the Josh Allen rule.
Basically, I'm going to say, you know who ruled that Josh Allen, the golden boy rule.
Both teams had a chance. I thought Green Bay, that last drive, when they were kicking the field goal to tie the game, that, you know, obviously ended the tie. Mm-hmm. They just mismanaged the clock a little bit to me. They didn't, you know, the little swing pass to their third string running back, I believe, was not, you don't need to do that. But I also believe they were doing that because they didn't want to give Brandon Aubrey a chance to get back on the field, because Brandon Aubrey can kick the ball 75 yards if he wants to. Mm-hmm. I do think, though, there is a solution, SB, and if the solution is a player safety issue, just have a kicker off, meaning both kickers line up, they take turns, they hit from 50 yards, they both kick from 50, they hit from 50, they back up to 55, they back up to 60, they back up to 65. First one to misses, that's who loses. So I think that's the answer, given these kickers can kick the ball basically from Chicago to Indianapolis. I just think that to me would be the answer if you don't want these games to end in a tie after the overtime period.
I like your idea if it's, like you said, after the overtime period. So I think, like you said, if after the overtime period you do a kicker off, and like you said, so it don't take all day. I think, like you said, you probably started with like the 45 or whatever, the 40.
The 50. We started at 50. They all can hit from 50.
50. So, and then I think after every kick, go back 10 yards. I think maybe, or do like 50 to 60, then 65, then like that. So we can get it over with quick. Because if we do 50, 55, that's going to be like 3-4 kicks in a row. That's going to take too much time. So start at the 50, go instantly 60. Then 65, and then get over, because ain't nobody going to be just knocking down 60s like that. And then, like you said, then the first person to hit, the last person to miss or hit, whatever, that's who wins, and then you call it one, and then you go home. Because it does, I don't like ending in a tie. I think this game was too good, and this game was a good game, shockingly. But it had everything that everybody wanted as a football fan. For the guys who just genuinely like football, don't care about none of the nonsense, you got good football. I don't know about defensively, but it showed sparks of good defense. It wasn't just like trash defense, but the offense put up points. People who like the offense side of the ball, you got points. People like quarterback play, you got good quarterback play. Also, people who like narratives, the media, you got your narratives. Michael Parsons back home. Jerry Jones had a lot to say, which we definitely going to talk about what Jerry Jones had to say too. But you got everything you wanted out this game. I liked it. It was a good game. I watched this game. I paid attention. So that was the main thing with me. You got everything you want. Michael Parsons did have his return to Dallas. Didn't go the way he wanted it in two ways. One, he didn't get the win. Also, the Packers' defense gave him 40 points. And Michael Parsons was peed off about that, about the Packers giving up 40 points. Do you agree with Michael Parsons? And are you concerned about the defense?
Yes. Yes. We, you know, again, we're talking about the way the Packers defense has played the first 3 weeks of the season, particularly against Detroit and Washington. I didn't think their corners were an issue. And last night, the corners were a big issue, were a massive issue. You know, Pickens, I mean, he had a monster game. Kevon Turpin, had a really good game as well. Yeah, it was just, to me, it was the corners. But also, again, I don't think the Packers got nearly the pass rush they were expecting to get last night. And as the great Warren Sapp always says, front end works for the back end. And so I think there was some issues there last night. The Packers should be, and Parsons should be ticked off that they gave up 40 points to the Cowboys, because I don't think anybody saw that happening last night going into the game.
For me, I just look at it as that the Cowboys, they're not going to play like this any other point of the season. This just was the game they woke up for because Michael Parsons was here coming into town. You know, Jerry was ready for about this game and ready to talk about it, which I'm going to talk about in a second. So I just think the Packers wasn't prepared, and they did the same thing they did with the Browns, which I thought they wasn't going to do, where they just thought – which I don't know how, like, the Packers just feel like they just the crown champions. They only proved nothing. It's only been 2-3 weeks. I get you got a star player, but you still got to go in and put in the work. The Packers act like they already won. They walked into this game thinking that the Cowboys are just going to lay down like they had it won, just like they did against the Browns. And the Cowboys woke up. The Cowboys circled this game on the calendar. This is the Cowboys Super Bowl this year. I'm being honest with you. Because this is the biggest story game, biggest storyline they're going to get. This is their Super Bowl. This was their Super Bowl this year. Everything else game, it ain't going to matter. It's just going to be talked about because it's the Cowboys. But they're going to do a lot more losing this year. So at least, if anything, the Cowboys wanted to get this game or make it exciting like they did. And you know who loves all this attention? Because, you know, you think after a game, you know, I'm going to talk to the players. Let me see what Dak Prescott want to talk about. You know, let's make that the headline. Oh, let's see what the Steelers are wide receiver. He played pretty good. Pickens. Well, let's see what Pickens want to talk about. You was wide receiver one with CD Lamb being now. Let's see what somebody on the defense want to talk about. They do better. No, Sean, we got to talk about Jerry Jones. You know, Jerry Jones just got to be in that spotlight. Jerry Jones must be stopped. He must be stopped. He had two quotes after the game because obviously – and he was back talking like they won. The game was a tie. Y'all didn't even win. You didn't win. But he had two quotes that I really want to point out. He was just like, when they asked about the game, and he started comparing Dak and Micah. He said, it's very simple. Dak was indismissible in my mind, and Micah wasn't. Jones said via his team official website, it's just a number. It's that easy. And it's not personal at all. The number just wasn't with Micah. Then he said, I knew that Parsons is a great player that he is. I like that we got ready to play. We played him. We ran at him. But we knew he was there, and he made the difference. But that's the way it goes, Jones said. Whether we like the tie or not, I'll take my side of it, and Green Bay have to take their side of it. What's your reaction to Jerry Jones, Sean? Also, he had another quote talking about, like, the money. That's why, you know, I paid Dak. But that's pretty much like the first quote. That's why Dak got paid. You know, you paid a better player and all that. But what was your reaction, though?
SB, my reaction is I do not care.
I think if people start having that more of a reaction of Dak, I mean, not Dak, of Jerry Jones, like you just did, maybe Jerry Jones will shut up. But that ain't going to happen. If people would just be like, I do not care what Jerry Jones talk. Jerry Jones just be talking. I do not care. I think Jerry Jones might stop talking. But, Sean, knowing Jerry Jones, he's not going to stop talking. If more people do what you just said right there, I say, hey, Jerry Jones said something wild. And you just, like, you clearly said, I do not care. I do not care no more. I think Jerry Jones might be quiet. Maybe. It's not 100% guaranteed, Sean, but maybe he'll be quiet. I was like, oh, no, we lost Sean, but.
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm still here.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't care. I'm not going to talk about a team that's probably going to win 7 games and be at home come January again. I don't care.
Mm-hmm. I only got to win the 7 games, to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest. I would be shocked if they win that much, but I'll be proud of them if they do. Let's get the elephant out the room. So I've been riding on the half horse lately. We don't start at 3-0, Sean. We got a little bit of a humble pie, and a young quarterback came in and got his first dub on us. Was I impressed by Jackson Dart? Yes. Was Jackson Dart 100% the reason why they won? No. That Giants defense is going to be a problem in the future. Their defense is going to be nice in the future. That's the one thing I can say. But I tip my hat to this young team. I wouldn't even necessarily just say the Chargers came in and took the Giants lightly. I just think the Giants just played a good game because the game was close. We had a chance to get the game. We didn't get it done at the end of the game. We turned it over and didn't get the job done. So I tip my hat to this young Giants defense. And I think the future is bright with Jackson Dart. You threw him in a fire. He rose down to Phoenix. And then, you know, now he got a gimme game the next game against your Saints. So he really going to be looking good. And also, you know how the Giants – fans are reacting. They really be supportive. Jackson Dart is now the number one selling jersey in the NFL right now, Sean.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me, SB. Mm-hmm. I think two things. One, the Giants had a great game plan. They were not going to ask Jackson Dart to go out and win the game with his arm. Mm-hmm. They had, I believe, 43 rushing attempts mm-hmm. as a team, 42 rushing attempts as a team, only 21 pass attempts, meaning they were going to not put all of it on Jackson Dart to win. When they were able to control time of possession, running the football as well as they did, it took some of the pressure off of Jackson Dart. But Jackson Dart did make some key plays. Obviously had a key touchdown run, and threw a key touchdown pass. He played really solid football, but to me yesterday was more about the Giants playing really good complementary football around their rookie quarterback making his first start against the Chargers.
What I do want to tip my hat to, though, for my Chargers, the Amari Hampton, that move, I'm liking Amari Hampton. I think I don't like to wish injuries on nobody, but that Najee Harrison being injured where now, like, you got to get more of Amari Hampton. You seeing that this kid is going to be a problem. And Quentin Johnston, this is like a whole different player now this year, man. He locked in. He's actually come a legit target. He's looking like one of our best receivers on the team right now. He's been catching everything, man. So I'm proud to see that. I know Justin Herbert, this ain't going to be a knock on this. Probably his MVP campaign. But I think so I'm not concerned. It was a tough loss. But for me, I'm not overreacting to it at all. I'm not overreacting. And then also, yeah, that was the main thing right here, that Joe all getting hurt. I didn't want to see that, especially with Rashawn Slater, but he should be back. But I didn't want to overreact. I didn't overreact. Good win by the Giants. Speaking of overreaction, it's time for real takes or overreaction. Ready, Sean?
Mm-hmm.
Number one on the list, real take or overreaction. The Baltimore Ravens are in trouble. And when I say they're in trouble, they are not contending. They are not legit contenders for a championship as they stand at the moment. Real take or overreaction?
With all the injuries, it's a real take. With all the injuries. Now, if they get some guys back healthy, and obviously you talk about Lamar. We don't know if Lamar's going to play next Sunday against Houston. But with all the injuries, yeah, I think it's an absolute real take. But because of all the injuries, they just have a lot of guys, you know, hurt. And that's always a recipe for disaster. But particularly when you're starting quarterback the guy you built it around is hurt, that's a massive concern. So I'm going to say it's a real take because of the injuries.
It's a 1,000% a real take. It's not even just the injury. I think the injury is a problem, but the play is also a problem. The defense doesn't look good. Sean, a well-supporter of the chat, shout out Tiff, and a well-supporter of Baltimore Ravens. She has been calling for this like the last 2 years. I think the Baltimore Ravens don't look good. Their coaching spot might be vacant. I'm calling it now. It might be vacant out this season. This is the year. I think this is the year. They didn't did everything. This is the year. Coaching spot might be vacant. All right, Sean. Next one. I got another one for you. Real take or overreaction. I think the Titans stink, but not Cam Ward. Is that a real take or overreaction?
Overreaction.
Okay.
Cam Ward is a part of the Titans.
I mean, that's true.
And he's a rookie quarterback.
That's true.
He's not terrible, but notice what he said. Notice what he said. I'm paraphrasing. He said, if we're keeping it a buck, we
playing ASF. Playing like
bugs. Yeah. We. He say they. He said we.
He said we.
So he's including himself in that. So, no. They got some things they got to get fixed, obviously. But I think the big issue is just not a really good team. And I had high hopes for them coming into the season in the AFC South. Not that I thought it would be a playoff team. I just thought they would, you know, find a way to, you know, steal some games. And it's still, you know, only four weeks in the season. But, you know, definitely the Denver game stands out. I really thought they should have won that game, that Denver game.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll see.
For me, I think we got a little bit spoiled when it comes to seeing a guy just come in and you pose like number one pick and just change a franchise route. This is just like the realistic aspect of you being a number one pick or going to a team. If you usually have the number one pick, it's not a lottery in the NFL. It's not a lottery. If you got the number one pick in the draft, you have the worst record in the league. So I just think that's all it really was for me. Real take or overreaction, Sean. I think it's time to put down Sleepy Joe, call Lassie in the back, and go ahead and put him down. It's time to put Joe Flacco down. I know why they keeping him in there. Everybody keep asking, why you keep this quarterback? Why are you keeping this quarterback in here? Y'all don't look good. He's getting tackled. He can't really make it plays. He's not doing nothing to make the team better. They're tanking. The Browns are tanking. They're not trying to win. If everybody keep asking why Joe, they ain't tanking. But taking the sack, you put a young quarterback, I don't think Shador or the other guy that nobody
– Dylan Gabriel.
Dylan Gabriel. I don't know why. My fault by the name. They not going to come in to be that impactful that's going to stop their tank. And I don't know who in the draft they want the number one pick for, but – They tank. I think it's time to put Sleepy Joe down. You got two young quarterbacks, not just one. You got two young quarterbacks. Throw the quarterbacks out there. Let the young guys play. Put Gabriel or Shador. Put one of them out there. It's time.
I'm going to say this is an overreaction part because they still got a really good defense. And if Joe Flacco and Quashawn Judkins has been a revelation to their run game, you know, the last couple of weeks. So nice. I think it's just Joe Flacco cleaning up his play just a little bit. But also they got some massive issues on the offensive line. They were starting, you know, third and fourth string tackles yesterday. I know they got some massive issues on that offensive line. So I think it's an overreaction because you got a good defense, because you can run the football. It's just, can you get a competent enough play from Joe Flacco and from your offensive line to at least keep you competitive in some of these games? Because, again, they have been competitive in a couple of these games, but particularly, again, week one and last week, the game they won against Green Bay, it's just, you know, clean it up. That this team could realistically be 2-2, and it'd be like a big shot. I mean, again,
that'd be a big shot.
The Cincinnati game was them shooting themselves in the foot several times. And then obviously, you know, Detroit was going to be a tough, you know, ask for them to win that game, and winning in Baltimore was going to be tough as well. But to me, it's just Joe Flacco cleans up his plays just a little bit and then getting that offensive line, particularly those tackles, figured out. Because, you know, playing with third and fourth string tackles usually does not end well for you.
It's bad. Okay, so this is two parts to this question because I was trying to refine AJ Brown's social media post, but it don't forget it. I can't find it. It don't matter exactly, but I've seen it though. Real take or overreaction is a two part to why I say this. Jalen Hurts' second half going 0-for-8 is concerning. Concerning to me, because if he plays like this in a playoff, or he plays like this, or their offense cannot get going, they will not win a championship again. And two, you're going to lose A.J. Brown because he has been frustrated with the offense. I'm not going to say Jalen Hurts. I'm going to say the offense for now because he already been posting crypto stuff. He already said this the second time already this season. So is real take an overreaction for me being concerned about Jalen Hurts going 0-for-8 in the second half? They still won, but he going 0-for-8 is concerning to me for those two reasons. Real take an overreaction.
Overreaction, but not Jalen Hurts. The issue is Kevin Petullo, the offensive coordinator, and some of the play calling is mind-blowing. And, again, I know he's a brand-new play caller. You know, I think Eagles fans are trying to be really patient. But, you know, when you're coming off of having a Super Bowl run with your, you know, offensive coordinator who's now the head coach in New Orleans and Kellen Moore, it's a big concern. The play call is a big concern. Jalen Hurts was 15 for 16 in the second half, in the first half, though. I mean, they came out, they opened it up. They said, hey, listen, they opened it up early. Obviously, getting a block for a return for a touchdown, jumping up early, allowed them to probably open some things up early. But, again, they haven't been able to run the football consistently with Saquon Barkley. And, again, a lot of their offensive explosions has been in a half. Last week in the second half, yesterday in the first half. Can they put together a full game? Again, remains to be seen with, I think, you know, this offensive coordinator. But that's the bigger concern. I'm not worried about Jalen Hurts.
I was the only concern, you know, 0-for-8, you know what I'm saying? That ain't top 10 as quarterback and stuff.
But I mean, you think about 0-for-8, again, you're not throwing the ball. But again, you're not throwing the ball a lot because you're up, and that's part of it. And then the second thing, they weren't in a great offensive rhythm in the second half, and they didn't necessarily need to be because they were up. And again, the Bucs hit a couple big plays and got back in the game. But there was not a point in the game yesterday in the second half where I said, "Oh, the Eagles are going to lose this game." The big thing for me was defensively, they played really, really well, and they got some big plays out of it, and they got some big plays out of their special teams. It was just the two big plays they gave up to Ibuka and to Bucky Irvin that I think were what made the game look closer than it really was.
No, I'm just saying, you know, I'm concerned. I'm just concerned.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, they're 4-0, and again, it's that not
team, that team.
But again, the bigger concern is Kevin Petullo and the play call.
Yes, no, for sure.
That's the concern. That's where
I'll jokes aside, it's more to him than the actual players of the team. Real take or overreaction, Sean. These guys crowned themselves as champions early. They get a superstar player in Michael Parsons. Looked good first 2 weeks, I should say. Week 3, the offense didn't look good. You was gonna do Jordan Love. He ain't the guy that we thought he was. That was the whole conversation. Defense good. We do our job. Now we see week 4, defense didn't look good. They dropped that Dak come in and dropped 40 on them. Real takeover reaction, Sean. I think the Packers are fool's gold. I don't think they're good as they think they is. I don't think a lot of people – now, they could get to that level, but as it stands right now, they are fool's gold to me. I don't think they as good as they think they are.
I'm going to say it's a little bit of an overreaction. Again, we're looking at what Detroit has done these last 3 weeks, you know, after losing the way they did in week one in Green Bay. I'm going to say it's a little bit of an overreaction, but I do think the Packers do have some things they got to get fixed. And again, yesterday, defensively, they just were not they were not good. And I think, again, some of it might have been a little bit of hubris, but some of it was the Cowboys had a great game plan. And they went at the weakness of the Packers' defense, which is those corners. And so, you know, give the Cowboys credit for doing that. I'm not going to sit here fool's gold. I had them picked to go to the NFC Championship game before the Michael Parsons trade. I'm not ready to jump off that train, but I do think, again,
that division is too tough, sir.
The division is very tough. And again, I think the division is going to come down to them in Green Bay or them in, Detroit. But I'm not jumping off the Packers train just yet. I still think they got a really talented football team, but they got to get some things cleaned up.
Yeah, I didn't think they fools go over right now, but I do think they'll be better. It takes them a lot more than you just get a new player and you just championship ready. Real take or overreaction, there's a lot of people had this conversation. I'm not going to just say like I stemmed this idea of what I'm saying. I heard a couple former teammates talk about it. Hall of Fame players kind of talk about it, and I really sat and looked into it. Real take or overreaction, Sean? I think Russell Wilson ruined his Hall of Fame career. I think this second post-Seahawks ruined Russell Wilson's chance to get in the Hall of Fame. And I know a lot of people probably hearing that, like, Russell Wilson, Hall of Fame. The trajectory that Russell Wilson was on, like him or not, he was one of the most winningest quarterbacks. Even if you can say his team is not, he had him Super Bowl. He was putting up the numbers. But he went this 10-year of his career. I say 2023 was okay. But from 2022 to now 2025 to now, well, he can't even keep a job is really being bad. And I can't see him retiring anytime soon. Maybe he might try to play another 3 more years, but I don't really see nothing else for Russell Wilson. So, Sean, is this a real take or an overreaction? And I think Russell Wilson ruined this Hall of Fame career.
So let me start by saying I didn't believe Russell Wilson was a guaranteed Hall of Famer.
He was on a trajectory towards that, though.
Was he?
Because he had, like, if you check his win rate, he's one of the most winningest quarterbacks. And how the NFL is set up now, his numbers was going to look good enough on the books. He got him a Super Bowl. I think if he would at least kept to what he was kind of doing with the Seahawks, I think he was.
And that's the thing. I didn't know he was. I didn't have him as that. I thought, again, if he kept adding to, it was going to be a conversation. But I didn't just look at the Seahawks tenure and say, "Oh yeah, that dude's on a Hall of Fame track."
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't going to be first ballot, but I think he would have been. I think he's ruining the, like, when he retired, won't be a conversation.
Right. Now, again, this is somebody who was a 9-time Pro Bowler in Seattle, which is his greatest individual accomplishment.
I mean, that's still nice. That's a good
achievement. Yeah, I mean, yeah, but also when you factor in the number of guys who back out of the Pro Bowl would say, "I'm not playing the Pro Bowl," so somebody gets named to the Pro Bowl as a replacement, that's a different conversation. He only made All-Pro team once. Was not
Wait, so Super Bowl, every other not, time he was a replacement?
No. Oh, different. Okay. No, different with Pro Bowl and All Pro. You know, the All Pro team is, you know, with the writers vote in this first team, second team. He made an All Pro team one time, but I don't know if he was a guaranteed Hall of Famer. And again, the numbers are going to be more explosive because the rules change for the numbers to explode. I don't know if he has the explosive numbers because he was that great.
But that's what I was saying, though. That's why I said it's going to be a conversation.
Yeah, I'm not saying. Yeah, I think I'm not saying he's not in the conversation. I'm saying I don't think it was a guarantee. And those that were saying it was a guarantee, I was like, is it? Because I don't know if it was a guarantee.
Because that said, also because I seen a clip of it. I don't really watch the full show of First Take, but. Even I believe Stephen A. was going to say, which I was shocked that he actually said this. He was like, if because he's like brought Eli Manning. Like, if Eli Manning last name wasn't Manning, would he do he deserve being in the conversation? And then you if you say yeah, and you compare side by side to Eli Russell Wilson numbers, they about the same category. Because then now the question be, well, Russ's name wasn't Wilson and it was Russell Manning.
Now
we're looking like you're different. That's true though.
I mean, if his name was Russell Manning, we need to talk to Archie's, you know, to Eli's dad, you know, seriously. But that's neither here nor there. I think to me, the Eli Manning conversation is Eli Manning is a two-time Super Bowl MVP. That's what propels him. And obviously we know who they beat in those two Super Bowls. That's a big part of the narrative. And he did it in the biggest market in the country. So I'm saying that's going to be a part of it. It's not going to be all about the numbers. And the reason why I don't think the Eli, and I'm saying Eli Russell comparison is fair, is I think you have to compare Russell to his contemporaries, which are the guys he came in the league with around the same time. So Cam Newton would be the guy that would come to mind to me. And again, I think Cam, just based on, even though his career was a little more finite, the MVP, the Super Bowl appearance, the rushing numbers, the rushing touchdowns, I think he would have a conversation. And again, some of it's going to be, yes, we think Cam was more of a force multiplier than Russell Wilson. We look at Russell 100%. Wilson. Russell Wilson played with, had a Hall of Fame running back behind him. He played with one of the best defenses ever. And he was the quarterback. There's other guys who've done that who are not in the Hall of Fame. I'm just saying, and again, like, and we talk about the New York quarterback, Phil Simms comes to mind. Phil Simms won a Super Bowl once as a starter and won another when he was hurt when Jeff Hostetler won. But Otis Anderson was an absolute beast behind him. And we know the type of defense that Phil Simms played with New York, with Lawrence Taylor and those guys. So I'm just saying, I think, and Phil Simms is not in the Hall of Fame. And again, it's not going to be about numbers. To me, it's going to be more about how we talk about these two phases of Russell Wilson's career. Because
it's night and day difference, I can tell you that.
It's night and day. I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer. I don't know if he was a Hall of Famer. I do think, though, these last few years have not helped solidify that if he were a Hall of Famer.
If he was, With the numbers and how it was projected, he probably don't get it, like, considered or not. I think the NFL Hall of Fame. Pro Football Hall of Fame is going to take a trajectory in a crazy direction like how the Basketball Hall of Fame did, because when certain players make it, I'm going to just say this now. When Eli Manning make it, because he probably going to make it, it's going to open the floodgates of probably more of a quarterback. So who should be in, who ain't in. It's going to even be people back in the day who probably was better, more elite. And once Eli make it, I'm telling you, Sean, it's going to open the floodgate of controversy. Because even what Russ could say, because but the Broncos for the one, he lost to the Patriots in the next one. And technically, if somebody wasn't an idiot and just ran the ball in when you got Marshawn Lynch,
Marshawn Lynch would have been the Super Bowl MVP, not Russell Wilson.
But they didn't want Marshawn Lynch to be there. But if they did that, he would have still had, even if he not got the Super Bowl MVP, he still would have had two, and he would have said he'd beat Brady too. Because I think the only highlight, Eli was not a bum. I'm not gonna say that Eli wasn't a bum. But the highlight of Eli's career is that he just beat Tom Brady twice, and then he played crazy in that one game. But if two games is enough to make you a Hall of Famer, and over the whole body of work, that's what I'm just saying, it's more of a narrative thing. Sean, we got to talk about our picks of the week reactions for this week. Obviously, we got to see where I was down at so we can know why I changed my pick for these two games. Because right now, I am up 2-1 at the moment. Could be 2-2 unless we could have the greatest tie on earth if the Dolphins and the Bengals come through for me today.
Right. So first game, Minnesota at Pittsburgh. We both put to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh did win. Washington and Atlanta. You took Washington. I took Atlanta. Atlanta won. Mm-hmm. New Orleans at Buffalo. We both took Buffalo. Buffalo did win. Mm-hmm. Cleveland at Detroit. We both took Detroit. Detroit won. Mm-hmm. Carolina at New England. I took Carolina. You took New England. New England won. Mm-hmm. Chargers at Giants. We both took the Chargers. Chargers lost. Mm-hmm. Philadelphia at Tampa Bay. I took Philly. You took Tampa Bay. Philly won. Mm-hmm. Tennessee at Houston. We both took Houston. Houston won. Colts at Rams. We both took Rams. Rams won. Jacksonville at San Francisco. I took Jacks. You took San Fran. Jacksonville did win. Baltimore at Kansas City. We both took Baltimore. Baltimore lost. Mm-hmm. Chicago at Vegas. We both took the Bears. Bears won. Green Bay at Dallas. We both took Green Bay. Doesn't matter. And so you are down two games. If the Dolphins win and Cincinnati wins, we'll be tied this week. If one of these games does not go your way, then I will win this week.
And then we will be 2-2 for the week, Char. All right. We get episode 85. Who you got, Char?
85. I'm going to go with we'll go with Vernon Davis.
Vernon Davis, I like it. Because I need with this team to win, I'm going to shout out to a Bengals legend. I'm going to do Chad Ochocinco. Chad Ochocinco. That will be my number four.